3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where we tell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. In case you are wondering, I am mobile today in my recording. I wasn't planning on being mobile today, but when I do, it is nice to have my portable microphone and record anywhere. Anyway, today we are going to read chapters 9 and 10 of The Christmas Reindeer, written by Thornton W. Burgess. As of today, we are a little more than 2 weeks away from Christmas. I hope that you are all set for Christmas and don't have much left to do. I still have some gifts that I need to buy, but I think for the most part, I am done with my shopping. If you still have a lot left to do, maybe you can get the help of the reindeer. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff! We have a liftoff!
To go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 9, The Chosen Deer. Tuktu still sat on the back of Whitefoot. As Santa Claus talked, he came over to Whitefoot and gently stroked his face. Whitefoot stood without motion. It was the more surprising, because Whitefoot had always been rather unruly. He had never been one to willingly acknowledge a master. Only Tuktu had been able to handle him without trouble. Santa looked up straight into the eyes of Tuktu. "Tell me, my dear," said he, "how you came to venture into this valley. Did you not know that only the deer folk come here?" "Yes, I knew," replied Tuktu in a low voice. "I knew, good Santa, and I would not have thought of coming myself. It was Whitefoot who brought me here. He brought me here, and I didn't know where he was bringing me." Then she told how she had been lost in the fog, and how when she had awakened from her nap in the midst of the great herd, she had discovered where she was. She told how she would have left, even then, but could not. And her lips trembled a little as she talked, for she was fearful that the good spirit might think that she had done wrong. "And why do you think that the deer folk come here every year?" inquired Santa Claus. "That the blessed eight may be chosen," said Tuktu. "And what, my dear, do you mean by the blessed eight?" Santa Claus inquired. Then Tuktu told him of the tales she had heard around the winter fire pots, and how it had been long known that every year 8 deer were chosen from the great herd in the Valley of the Good Spirit, and how the following year these deer always returned to their owners and were the finest sled deer in all the North, so that the owner of one of these was considered blessed above his fellows. Santa Claus sighed. "They ought to be good sled deer," said he. "I spent enough time in training them. For what purpose, my dear, do you think these deer are chosen each year?" Tuktu shook her head. "That," said she, "no one knows. All that is known is that each year the 8 deer are chosen, and the following year they are returned to bless their owners. That is enough. The good spirit has some wise purpose, or the deer would not be taken and returned." "Do you know," said Santa, "that the reindeer are among the oldest of all the peoples of the earth?" "It is so. It has been said that man was created to look after the reindeer, and the reindeer were created to look after man. Almost since man was, the reindeer have furnished him with food and clothing, and have carried him or drawn him wherever he wished to go." "Have you driven deer to the sled? Have you ever sat behind a running reindeer and felt the rush of the cutting wind? And felt now and then the sting of the snow thrown from its flying feet?" Tuktu's eyes shone, and she clapped her hands softly. "Don't you love it?" she cried. Santa Claus nodded, and he chuckled. "That is why the 8 deer are chosen each year," said he. "When I made my first Christmas journey, It was a reindeer who drew my sled. My pack was small, and my journey was short, and a single deer was all I needed. But as the Christmas spirit swept farther and farther throughout the great world, and more children looked for my coming, my pack became larger, and I had to travel much faster. So then I used 2 deer, and then 3, 4, 5, until now 8 are needed. 8 of the finest deer to be found in all the herds. They must have speed and strength, for they must take me fast and carry me far. They must have beauty with antlers of many points. They must be stout of heart and full of courage. They must be gentle. So it is that each year I must get a new team, and so each year the reindeer, the finest in all the great Northland, feed for a while in Kringle Valley. Then, when the time comes, as it came today, they pass before me at their best, that I may choose those for my next Christmas journey into the great world. Those you saw vanish in the colored mist are the 8 who will take me next Christmas to carry joy to little folk. In all that great herd you saw, there is none other the equal of those chosen, and all the dear folk know it. Just once will they make that wonderful journey, for only for that one time will they be at their very best. At the next Christmas, there will be 8 others to take their places, but always the 8 bear the same names. Would you like to hear them, Tuktu? Shyly, Tuktu nodded. If you please, she said. My, how the eyes of old Santa Claus twinkled. They are Donder and Blitzen, Dancer and Prancer, Dasher and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, said he. I couldn't drive deer by any other names. They are magic names, and those deer will become magic deer when they start on their Christmas journey. Now, my dear, Whitefoot will take you straight back to the place from which he brought you. You have seen that which you may never see again, the choosing of the deer. But always you will remember that in the Valley of the Good Spirit, love dwells, and that love may be carried throughout the world. The blessed reindeer are chosen each year. Chapter 10. Tuktu's Happy Thought. Donder and Blitzen, Dasher and Vixen, Dancer and Prancer, Comet and Cupid, repeated Tuktu to herself, and her eyes were like stars. Do the children out in the great world love them? You should have seen Santa's eyes twinkle then, and you should have seen all the laugh wrinkles around his eyes. I suspect they do, said he. I suspect they do, for they love me, and they must love the ones who bring me to them each year. But they have never seen my reindeer, so I really don't know. And then you should have seen Tuktu's eyes open. Do you mean, she asked, that they never, never have seen your deer? Santa Claus nodded. That's what I mean, said he. You see, the night before Christmas, when I make that magic trip, I must go so far, and I must go so fast, that there is no time, not even 1 wee minute to waste. And so, no one sees me then. Sometimes, little boys and girls hide and watch for me and for my deer, but they never see us. And those little boys and girls do not always find all the things they hoped I would bring them. A dreamy look had come into Tuktu's eyes, a very faraway look. Do they have as fine deer out there in the great world as we have here? She asked. The laugh wrinkles wrinkled up more than ever, and Santa Claus laughed right out. They have no deer at all, little one, said he. That is, they have no reindeer. Most of them would not know a reindeer if they saw one. No reindeer, cried Tuktu, and such a look of astonishment as spread over her face. How can they live without the wonderful deer? Oh, I am so sorry for those children. I wish, Tuktu paused. What do you wish, child? Santa Claus asked in his friendly voice. Tell me what you wish, for you know it is my business to make the wishes of children come true. Tuktu hesitated. She dropped her eyes shyly. I wish, she said very softly, that I could send them some reindeer. Santa Claus looked at her sharply. He could read her thoughts, and there was not one single little thought of self there. She was thinking of the children who had never seen the reindeer and how wonderful it would be if only they could see the Blessed Eight. When she looked up and saw Santa's kindly eyes studying her, she spoke impulsively. "Kind Santa Claus," said she, speaking hurriedly, so hurriedly that the words tripped over each other. "Couldn't you go down early some year with your blessed deer so that the children of the great world might see them? I know they would love them, just as I do." Santa Claus sighed. "I am afraid," said he, "there isn't time. You know, it takes time to train deer, and there are no deer in all the great Northland so well trained as those which take me out into the great world every Christmas. You saw the eight chosen today. It will take most of my time from now until Christmas to get them properly trained for that magic journey. If the deer were better trained when I got them, I might be able to do it. You know, I do not even have to have reins. They are so perfectly trained. That is why, when I am through with them, they are the finest sled deer in all the world. They are no longer magic deer, but they are wonderful sled deer. So you think the children of the great world would like to see the deer? Perhaps they would. Perhaps they would. I shall have to think it over, my dear. I certainly shall have to think it over." "Oh, if you only would," cried Tuktu, her dark eyes shining with excitement. I wish I could help. I am so sorry for children who have never seen the beautiful deer." Down somewhere in the midst of the wonderful mist, a silver bell rang. It was so clear, so sweet, that Tuktu turned her head to listen. When she looked back, Santa Claus had disappeared. The bell rang again, and from out of the curtain of mist came Santa's voice once more. "Goodbye, little girl," said he. "The great herd moves, and you must leave the valley. But remember this, my dear, that whenever you think of others, others will think of you. And to those who love, is love given in return. That is why Christmas is. Remember that, my dear, and always your Christmas will be merry. Better than that, it will be happy." Abruptly, Whitefoot turned and began to move away.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and it's come to a final stop.